We're going to continue talking about faith a little bit this morning, and I was just really impressed this morning with how great God is, and how our ability to receive what He's provided for us is all dependent upon what we believe, isn't it? And part of the reason why we sing songs like we do and we get all excited is because, man, we live in a world, don't we, that's full of a bunch of other beliefs, isn't it, that we learn to react to, don't we? So I'd like to look at just this word faith initially and what it just means on a basic level, and then kind of make it look practical, because I believe all of us are living by faith right now. It might not be faith in God, but it's faith, isn't it? Because everything you do is based upon your belief in something, isn't it? How many brush your teeth? Hopefully you brushed them this morning. Why? Well, you might just not like to have nasty morning breath. But there's a belief also, isn't there, that if you don't, how many flossed this morning too? Flossing isn't quite as, you know, just because I feel like it. Flossing is because if I don't, what happens? Cavities, right? Teeth fall out, stuff like that, right? So everything we're doing is based upon a belief in something. We make a commitment to somebody, and we get into a relationship with somebody, and our whole life can be a bunch of steps that are part of that commitment, right? And so when we're talking about faith, a lot of times we just try to make it about God, but it's how we live all the time. So I'd like to make some comparisons today, because part of the reason why we're here today, and I was even thinking about while Buddy was receiving the offering. An offering, it seems like, what? You just want me to put money in this plate? And you're talking about other stuff happening as a result of that. There's a connection made to an action of putting an offering in a plate that now you're connecting with a God that's going to, I'm sorry, but that takes some faith. But what's really cool is you take people that begin to operate in this, they see that this is more dependable than a worldly system of investment. How many could raise your hand to attest to that? Amen? God's been faithful, hasn't He? But it takes faith, doesn't it? And so you kind of have to get to a place of revelation where you actually believe this enough to actually contribute a significant amount. And that's just in the area of finances, right? So I want to talk about, though, because it's very, what we're doing when we're getting involved in a God kind of faith, it's a faith that will not ever allow you to fall. So what I want to call this is faith that stands, okay? And I'm going to compare it to other faiths. So, and what I like about looking at this example of faith is it's something that we're already doing. But how many have experienced faith in other things let you down to the point that you fall? Is that right? How many have made an investment that just went down the toilet? How many have had a relationship with somebody? Even went up before God, maybe. And said, God, I'm going to commit to this person the rest of my life, for better, for worse, whatever. What happens? It doesn't always work. There's no condemnation, but what do we put faith in something. We even committed our life to it. Is that right? That's a very real thing, very, very common. But there is a faith that we're talking about. We're trying to nurture this morning, praising God, magnifying Him, right? Opening up His word so we can say, okay, God, show me what to believe about You, right? But then it's not enough, because you're going to know when you actually believe that by what you do with it. It's not enough to say, I believe that if I don't brush my teeth, I'm going to have cavities, and then just not brush your teeth. That's not faith, is it? You might believe in cavities, but you don't have faith in the process that you need to have that goes with that. Is that right? This is how it is with God. It's not enough to say, I believe in God. No, that's not faith. No, you have to do something about it, right? And we're going to get to that. So Let's bring up that first one, because faith is actions that correspond with belief. It's not, and again, it can be with anything, right? But you're not, with a belief, you're not going to have faith. And that's like trusting, isn't it? Faith is kind of like trusting. I trust it, so I'm going to have to make a commitment. I'm going to do something that's going to make this happen. I'm still believing. I haven't mentioned this recently, but I'm still believing in the process of working out, because most of the time it doesn't reward me right away. I still believe in that picture on the back of the magazine that I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everybody want to believe with me this morning? Okay, so you're not in faith, because until we're working out together and you're saying, go, Pastor Steve, go, we're not in faith. No, okay. Anyway, let's look at Psalm 20. Verse 7. So there is a faith in God that is different, and we're going to need to see that there's a difference, because we can't relate to believing in God to other things that we put our faith in. There needs to be an understanding, because to step out in faith in God, you can't be doing it based upon where you've been in other relationships with things. Amen? Because He will not fall. He will not fail. And actually, the realization of that should allow you to even take some bigger risks in this. Amen? Okay. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. How many trust in chariots this morning? We're talking to a different culture, aren't we? A different time in history. But some trust in this and some trust in that, right? But what does it say about those who have a relationship with God? It says, but we will do what? Remember the name of the Lord our God. What is the name of our Lord our God? It's what he's done, isn't it? It's like, how faithful is he? What has he done already? So what makes you even want to have an idea about having faith in God? You hear a testimony. Somebody says, man, I was addicted to this. I was under the bondage to that. God did something for me. What are you hearing? The name of God, right? What he's done before. Because of what he's done, you can run into the reality of his name. Is that right? They have bowed down. What? The chariot and the horse people? I don't know. We might have Teslas and I don't know, monster trucks, or I don't know, whatever y'all are into. But they fail after 250,000 miles, don't they? It's like, you have to start fixing them, right? Because anything in this life is going to fail with time. And we can't trust it. Is that right? But here's the part I want to look at. It says, anybody that trusts in those things in this earth, they're going to fall. But we remember the name of our Lord. And I like this, we have risen and stand upright. Amen? It's kind of like the scripture Buddy was talking about, that it comes all into this realm of, if you have anything, it's a need that God will supply. Amen? Is that right? And here's what God does. He says, I've already caused you to rise. I've already said that you are going to stand. When you trust in God, it's not going to be like horses and other things. Amen? Okay. So, everyone lives by faith in something. And let's look at this next statement. As long as faith's actions come from belief in a man or any worldly entity, standing is uncertain. This means your ground, you might be doing good for a little while. You might be pretty good at investing. You might be pretty good at some things. But the ground underneath of you, especially when you breathe your last breath, everything down here is gone. Amen? I want to look at five things that the Bible has to say about putting your trust in something else, okay? Let's look at Matthew 6:24. Misplaced financial security. You cannot serve both God and money. What happens? You make that investment, falls apart, You can actually commit your life. This would include like your employment too, right? How many? A lot of this is put on the guys, but women do this too, right? You can put your trust in a job. And there's somebody's job it is to tell you that you don't have a job anymore. Is that right? And if your trust is in how good and how much education you have to have this job, it's pretty risky, isn't it? It's not something you can depend on. You might not be standing with that too long. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:5. Misplaced security in relationships. We've already touched on some of these things already, but I want to look at it from the word, okay? Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. I'll tell you what, I'm so grateful that God has put an esposa. Is that right? Is that the right word? Esposa? See, I can't even say that right. All right. Just don't try anymore. I have to talk the rest of the sermon, Pastor Kim. Okay. All right, I'll just not try Spanish. All right. All right. But I'm so grateful God put her in my life. But my faith can't be in her completely. Some of it will be. Amen? But it's not fair to her. And it's really not fair to God to say, God, where I'm going to get my soul reward alone is from her. I can't do that. I can't do it with friends. Friends can let you down. How many have experienced? I'm talking to everybody, and we know this is true. Is that right? But what does God say about it? He didn't just say it's not going to be something you can do. He says it's cursed. Is that right? Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Here's what's cool. Here's how love gets involved in these relationships. And this is where the faith in God can affect a faith in something else. Because what God comes to do is say, don't you make your faith in that person. You take the faith that you have in me and you say, my faith is going to be in how I can provide for them. What is that? That's love, isn't it? And you know what love does? It doesn't say I have to have you. It says I have to provide love for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. And what it does is it strips any ability from somebody being able to make you fall. Because when this relationship falls, you don't have to fall with it. Does that make sense? Is that right? Yeah. And he says, you know what? You're just going to experience something that's unbearable. And you might have to go through a healing time. And these things are real, right? But he says, how you get started with this in the first place is make sure that you're not drawing from that for your life. Get me involved. Amen? Misplaced security in... Oh, I already said that. Okay. Psalm 146:3. Misplaced dependence on government, legal system, or party for justice and provision. How many know that there's a lot of that going on? And a lot of animosity gets, man, you can get to where you're so opposed to the opposite side, it doesn't matter what they do, you're against it, right? And part of that is putting your dependence upon a government or I better get my Social Security check. I better get what I deserve. You know, I don't know about you, but I get this, I get these, I think they're like YouTube things or something that, you know, they say, here's what you deserve from the government, that you deserve such and such thousands of dollars, and this is how you go get it. And it's like, the government's not my source. Amen? And I'm so grateful that we have a president that's making some righteous choices. That's the only reason I'm behind him. Amen? Is the choices that he makes that are righteous. Yeah. Right? I mean, I love him as a person because we're supposed to love everybody, right? and I'm behind him, and I'm going to lift him up, and I believe that, he'll hear the voice of God. But my, I'm not going down if he goes down. I'm not making provision for that, but you know what I mean? I have one that I look to for my provision. Amen? Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings, who cannot save. And let's look at this word save real quick, because that it's not just save you like when you're fixing to fall off a cliff. It's to save you financially, save you health-wise, every area of your life. Is that right? We're not to look to our government, not to look to political people. But there's a natural tendency to do that. There's a lot of people doing it, right? They put their faith, they put their trust, they put their things in something else. All right? Let's look at a couple more. Are you good? All right. 1 Corinthians 1:25, misplaced reliance on human reasoning. How many know somebody else like this? This is obviously not you here this morning. It's got to be somebody else. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. There's a tendency to have, if I can't figure it out with my brain, it can't be of God. Or to follow after somebody else's, and here's the danger too, because you can get very reliant upon somebody that presents themselves as wise, and we have access to so much of this today, don't we? Right. But it's been something forever. To follow after somebody, even in ministry, even people that are gifted at presenting the word of God and actually have spiritual gifts. You can, remember in the New Testament, there's a scripture that talks about, don't say I am of Paul and I'm of Apollos, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. What are you saying? You're lifting up somebody and you're saying, I go after them because it makes sense to me. Right? The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So anything that I'm going to follow after, I need to make its base. Did God say this, first of all? Is that right?
Right.
Praise God. All right, I have one more here. Misplaced belief in own intelligence, willpower, or talent. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Don't you like this proverb? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then the next verse says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will guide you, right? He'll show you the way to go. How many know that it's real easy to lean on your own understanding, to lean on your own ability? So I'm going to fix this. Did you know that's faith? You're really believing in what you can do, and you're acting upon it. Is that right? But it's subject to fail, isn't it? How many would just like to have a faith that doesn't fall? And that's what we have. That's what we're looking at today. Amen? All right. God placed faith, its power for all of life. Now, the interesting thing about the other faiths that we have and the other things that we commit ourselves to, there's some value there, but they're really temporary and they're powerless to keep you from falling. And here's the thing that you get into right away with God, and this is what I want to look at that separates it. It's not just having a mystical belief in a God somewhere. It's a belief in his power. We're going to make a connection to his power right now, okay? Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So we've been looking at every other kind of faith, right? And what happened? The disciples, Jesus went by this fig tree, and it didn't have any figs on it, and he cursed it. And they came back the next day, and it was completely dead. They said, whoa, Jesus, what you doing? He said, well, here's the thing. When you have a God kind of faith, Your faith is in something that's bigger than something you can see in the natural. And if you believe in him enough, this is where I want to show us, is that there's a belief in God, not in your ability to speak to something, that you have to believe that it's going to happen because you just said it. It will, but it's going to be because you have a faith in God that has the power. Amen? And in that, there's no falling. So what did Jesus say? He said, have faith in God. He said, actually, have the God kind of faith. This means you're not gonna be doing these five other things that you're putting your efforts, you're putting your energy, you're putting your actions into something that might have some value in a temporary sense, but is subject to fall. What he says here, he makes a connection. He says, there's power in this. Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So there's this connection with God that when you have the God kind of faith, now you've gotten used to believing in this God that spoke and creation happened. Amen? That what did he do when he was going to make a change in the whole world? He sends his word in flesh, and it becomes Christ. Now you start not just believing in him, but actually having faith in him, actually responding to that reality of this kind of a God. That's what it requires his name, doesn't it? What's he done before? Oh, he did that for somebody over here? He created the world with just saying something? Man, I believe in that God. That means I'm going to have that kind of faith. I'm going to believe in that God. And you cannot believe in that God and not start acting like it. How many believe in God today? This is the kind of God he is, isn't he? He says, okay, now if you really believe in me, you're going to have my kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that's not going to fall, but it has power associated with it. So I want to make this, first of all, how many have moved a mountain? I guess one of our bunker busters took out a mountain to get to something. That's what they were saying. Isn't that amazing what these things can do? But our prayers can do the same thing according to what God says. Amen? It says it's only limited not to just your belief in me, but your action. How many know that it said more than just how many believe? What did it say more than it said believe? Speak, right? There has to be a response. It's not enough to just make a commitment to somebody. You're going to have to do something that's associated. There's an association of action that turns belief into faith. Amen? And with God, there's an immediate association of power. Let's look at what this is, because it's related to grace. This is something we don't deserve. It's not coming from my ability to think. It's not coming from my ability to be committed to something that fails. Doesn't come from the almighty dollar that's fixing to fall. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's coming from something much more substantial. But if we're not actually adding action to our claimed belief in God, there's not going to be any bunker busting from our words. Does that make sense? All right, you have to say it. But the main thing I'm wanting to get from this is the reason you can say that is because you've become aligned with a God of all power, all might. And if you really believe this is how he works, you're going to have his kind of faith that will not fall. Amen? Faith in Christ is empowered faith for life. And here's the cool thing about this, because we've talked about all these other faiths that we have, and it's not that God doesn't want to be involved in that, and we just kind of have to become some spiritual weirdo to have faith in God. You know what I mean? No, he wants to get involved with our relationships. He wants to get involved with our money. That's why we received an offering today. It's because he says, I want to get involved in that. But you're going to have to believe in my power to do something bigger than you can do with it. Amen? This is good, isn't it? Aren't you grateful that we have this kind of a God that lifts us up out of the limitations of our own faith? And in him, we get to a place where, man, power takes over. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? The good news. That means those things that are so dear to my heart. God is not just wanting to say, you have to deny everything. No, he says, I'm wanting, if you're poor, what's good news to the poor? I can be rich. Good news to the sick. I can be healed. Amen? Good news to somebody that doesn't know what to do. I'm going to light a path before you. Is that right? And that's what we get in Christ. But let's look at this. For it's not just a mystical thing. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. And look at this. This is the part I think is really cool. How do you come to God in the first place? You believe that he is? That he's a rewarder of somebody that seeks him? Oh, I'm going to seek him. I'm going to make him my Lord. How many have done that? You made him your Lord. Amen? Did you know that had nothing to do with you? It was all God. And what did God do in that simple act of faith? All you did, you had to say it, didn't you? You had to say, be my Lord, right? You had to believe it in your heart. But what happened way beyond you? God came in and with a miraculous power made you a new creation. Yes. Amen? But faith wasn't done with our new birth. What does it say here? It says, from faith to faith. Oh, you mean I can get God involved in all these other things that I'm believing for, that I'd like to have in my life, and I don't have to trust them. I can trust God. Amen? And in the same way I came to him to be a new creation, I can begin to speak to things. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. So when you have my kind of faith, don't just make this about spiritual things. It's about everything that life has to do with. Amen? He says, the just shall do what? Live by faith. That means not just go to church by faith, you know. Not just wear a placard by faith, not just wear a nice t-shirt or a hat. No, that means everything that we're about now becomes faith to faith. Now, here's where it becomes we even as Christians, we can say, well, I gave my life to God, and now look, it's just such a mess. Well, what else were you giving to God? Amen? What else were you saying, I'm going to trust him with this, and I'm going to act like it? Is that right? Belief in God grants access to the standing power of grace. How many want to be standing at the end of the battle? What keeps you from standing? How many have not been able to stand ever physically? If you have a hamstring tear, right? It's like, I can't stand anymore. You don't have the power, right? If something's torn, if a muscle's torn, or you just don't have the energy anymore, what's wrong? You don't have power. What we need in God is the power to stand. Amen? When the storm's done, when the battle's over, when the other faith has fallen, we can be standing if our faith was in the right place. Amen? Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what the previous verse said, the just live by faith. So we're actually justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this power in which we do what? Stand. We stand here and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That means there's something before me. When I keep standing in faith, When I keep believing in God, amen, I'm going somewhere. And I'm going there because I'm standing. Praise God. He makes us to stand. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Our purpose today. So here's what we're here for today, and I believe we can take from it. Doesn't do any good to sit before some revelation from God. Is this revelation? Doesn't matter if we've heard it before. It's still revelation, isn't it? And we need to do something with it. How many are ready to do something? Can we? I want to respond. When God gives me something, I want to be the one that's changing. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves us the way we are, but he wants us to change. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to receive everything that the gospel has made possible for us in Christ. And it'll come by power. Our purpose today is to yield to the Holy Spirit's call to stand firmly by faith in God. How many want to go there today? Can we do that? I believe that God can help us to do that. But it requires our yielding to this thing, to this relationship with him. Let's look at this, 1 Corinthians 2:4. In my preaching, and Paul talks about this. How many have been really impressed with somebody? And you can kind of miss out on the purpose of it. You can miss out on the power of it if you get too caught up in the voice of it. Paul's talking about this. How many would think Paul would just, wouldn't it be cool to go back and listen to Paul? Did you know people fell asleep in Paul's services too? Right? My preaching was very plain. That's probably why. Not with a lot of oratory and human wisdom, but the Holy Spirit's power was in my words, proving to those who heard them that the message was from God. Paul said, you know what? I don't want you to be impressed with me and miss out being impressed with God, because I want the content to surpass any other impression. If you think it's because of my ability to speak, and see, that's why I used all these mispronunciations today, so you wouldn't get caught up with how wonderful I speak. But it's not about the man, it's the message, isn't it? He says, it needs to be a message of power, not just human wisdom, not just things that you can get anywhere else. Not just somebody coming up with a good idea and you think, wow, that could have only come from him because, man, he's smart. That's foolishness compared to God's wisdom. Amen? So, man, I want to yield to God's wisdom. And he said, it needs to have power. Our faith needs to stand in the power of God today. Yeah. Man, let's do that. I did this because I wanted your faith to stand firmly upon God, not on man's great ideas. Isn't this good? We can do this. Praise God. So I've got three short little verses that I want to just look at here. And then I want to just invite us to do this today. We're all in different parts of our life, but there's an opportunity for us to take on the faith of God. Amen? For faith to stand, it must be lived. That means it has to have action going with it, right? Galatians 2:20 says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith, right? Does that mean just some of my life? Nah, you're looking at somebody that lives all their life. Amen? Because to do anything else is to slide into another dependence. Man, we can build all our life, everything else, relationships, finances, health. If it's based upon him, man, we can have confidence, can't we? Amen? Because he said something about all those things. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk how? By faith, not by sight. Not by the things that we can see or we can get to ourselves. Is that right? 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Does that sound powerful? We're not supposed to be impressed by the world. We're not supposed to be impressed by how ominous things are looking. Amen? How do we overcome it, though? It's very critical that we're not just assenting believers. We're active believers. Because until there's an action associated with it, until there's a word that follows it, it's not faith. We don't overcome the world by belief. We overcome the world by faith. Amen? So there must be an action. So I just invite us to respond. James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. There needs to be a response. The God that we're patterning ourselves with today, putting our trust in. Amen? We can respond to him. Matthew 10:32. If you openly and publicly acknowledge me, I will freely and openly acknowledge you before my heavenly Father. So I'm going to give us an opportunity. I know we're all in different places in our life, but I want to give you an opportunity to just respond and say, I've been trusting in horses and chariots. I've been trusting in some other things. I want to make a commitment today. Now, and it begins here, and it has to go from here. Amen? It's got to start. I have to make a commitment. To say, God, I'm going to turn my back on leaning on these other things. I'm going to put my faith in you. Anybody have a misplaced faith that you've experienced in your life? You might be experiencing results of that. First thing we have to do is admit it, right? I'm just going to raise my hand right now. Anybody want to join me? I've had some misplaced faith. Want to raise your hand right now? Let's respond. Let's do this by faith. This isn't an admission of guilt. This is an admission of I'm going to replace it. Amen? Can we do that? Amen. For those needing a grace, that power, how many have need of that power to keep from falling, to be able to stand and receive? Is that you this morning? Man, I'm in need of that. Let's raise our hand. Let's respond to him. Amen? Hallelujah. What's really cool about this, every response is as little as a hand lifted up. What is that? That's a motion towards God, isn't it? Praise God. One more. Just for a deeper walk in trust. To commit to live a life rooted in believing in God. Oh, man, let's put both our hands up. Amen? Praise God. Oh, listen.